Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world. The world was made by Him. The world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. So it's good to be here one more time to be on Truth. To bring you Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So it's a blessing to be able to be here. And so my question to you is, for you to ask yourself, really, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So it's good to be here, and we welcome all of our Blog Talk friends, our Facebook friends, our Twitter followers, and our LinkedIn connections to Truth Ministry. So what it is, what a blessing it is. We thank God. David, the psalmist, says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And he goes on, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So just thank God. He brought us out, as the psalmist says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me also up out of a horrible pit. He set my feet on a rock. He established my goings. He put hath put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God." So thank God for that. Only God can save from sin. So we just thank God for His word. We want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church, people who were already saved, who had already received an experience, as what we call the Pentecostal experience, speaking with other tongues, as Joel 2:28, "Shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." So they had already been to the water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, as the Apostle Peter preached the first message on the day of Pentecost. And they were instructed. They knew where repentance and remission of sin was. Luke 24:44-45. He told them to go back to the city of Jerusalem, you know, wait for the promise. So he said, "Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preaching His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And then Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And then in Matthew, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. So the Father has a name, the Son has a name, the Holy Ghost has a name. He didn't say repeat after me, but baptize them in the name. And that name is Jesus. He is the Christ. He is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the one that the great God came in the person of Jesus Christ. He actually came into the world that he made. You can't, like he told David, where are you going to build a house for me? Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Just seems like people have a problem in believing in the one God. Just because he became a man, he didn't stop being God. He can't be confined. He's everywhere and every place. And he can leave you, come to you, ain't going nowhere. Just because he became a man, he did not stop being God. And this is why the writer wrote, was the Apostle Paul in his second letter to the Corinthian church, 5:19, 2 Corinthians. He said, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he went on to say, have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. To wit, he said, you know, we beseech you, be ye reconciled to God. Made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So 53rd chapter of Isaiah, we know what happened to that body. In the 52nd chapter, I mean the 50th, said that he is of Isaiah, his vishes were marred more than any of the sons of men. So they beat him beyond recognition, but they did it for us. He was bruised for our transgressions. He was chastised. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So thank God, you got to know who he is. So that is so important. Everybody don't know who Jesus is. You know, everyone does not understand biblical terminology. It says, you know, when Stephen was being stoned to death, I believe in the 7th chapter of Acts, and in the 8th chapter, somewhere in there, says he saw the heavens open, Jesus standing on the right hand of God. I mean, like he had his hand out and he was standing in it. That don't make sense. That is biblical terminology. You got to understand biblical terminology. And the Jews as a nation didn't accept Jesus, didn't believe that he was the Messiah, the nation that is. Some did, but not the whole nation. So they're going to see him. That's why he wrote in Zechariah 12:10, the latter clause, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They're going to be bitter. They're going to mourn. They're going to realize that they crucified the Lord of glory. So they didn't. So time out for that, but it's time to know him. So we've been talking about fellowship on, this is our part 3 on fellowship. We'll probably try to finish it up today. And then my ongoing theme, Godhead, God who is the head of all things, the only God, you know, he is the head of the church, which is his body. So it's only one God. And Apostle Paul asked him a question on the road to Damascus. He says, Saul, why persecute thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. So persecuting the church, which is his body, he says, you're persecuting me. So that's why wisdom is the principal thing. The proverbial writer says, therefore get wisdom, and all thy getting, get understanding. So this is what we need to have. So we got to understand that. We got to believe God. Like the Hebrew writer said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we just thank God for all of you who are listening in with us on today, or you may be later on. This broadcast is live right now, but you can also listen because it's on demand. But should you desire to call in, we're doing the live broadcast right now between the hours of 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Daylight Savings Time, Florida and Michigan, and we all have New York, we have the same time. Chicago would be Central Time. Vegas, I think that's would be one of them, or a specific time. There's another one, another time. Anyway, we're on Eastern Time on day September the 1st between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. So should you desire to call in, you have a question, you have a comment, you are very welcome. Our call-in number, our guest call-in number, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So we're continuing on with our what we've been talking about, fellowship. And then so this is part three on today. We're continuing on because we actually begun this lesson on fellowship about a month ago. And it was back in July, I think the first part of July. And then so we did part two on last week. And so we're back again on today doing part three of fellowship. And so we're actually, we're talking, the Apostle John encourages the believers to stay with the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is in Jesus. The truth is God's word. You know, 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this is what we are endeavoring to do. So he encourages, the Apostle John encourages the believers to stay with the truth. So that would be God's word. So for the truth's sake, which dwelleth with us and shall be with us for. So Jesus is the one, not some, he's the only one. He is the first begotten of the dead. You know, him that loved us, John says, in the book of the Revelation, and he washed us from our sins in his own blood. He made us kings and priests unto God. So what am I saying? He was the one that got up from the dead, you know, and nobody else is qualified. So you can't be, I'm not going to be a Gumby and go on one show and talk to that audience and talk different. No, all praise goes to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God himself. He is God incarnate. So after you leave, and he is Jehovah who has become our salvation. After you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore in the Bible. He is Jesus. The Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new. So all praise go to him. So my message is the same no matter where I go. He is the God of all flesh. Jesus himself, he said, it's the spirit that quickeneth. The word quicken means make alive. He said, the flesh profiteth nothing, but the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. St. John 6:63. So ain't no I lie or none of that. I lie is a lie. So no, there is only one that came to give his life and got up from the dead, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we're continuing on in fellowship. And so, yeah, he got up and made sure that we got the will. So he got up and made sure. You leave a will, most people, they leave, testator, A testament is not of force while the testator liveth. Testator got to die for the testament to be in of force. But he died and got up and made sure we got what he left us, because he ever liveth to make intercession for us. That is in the sonship. That's given for a purpose. That's going to be done away with at the appointed time. They got to see the nail prints in his hands and he can, and in his feet and in his side. And somebody said, where's that body at? Understand, he can appear any form whenever he wants to, at will, because he's a sovereign God. He can do whatever he will. But the house of Israel is going to see him. They're going to ask the question, when did you get these? You know, when they see the wounds and everything, he said, and he's going to reply, I was wounded in the house of my friends. Fellowship, the condition of being an associate, mutual association of persons on equal and friendly terms, communion, companionship. So it's, you know, intimate, familiarity, joint interest. So everybody doesn't have fellowship. And so we started off, like John said, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You got to understand. That's why he said, you got the Son, you have life. You don't have the Son, you don't have life. So ain't no such thing as people named the apostolics Jesus only. They don't understand. Yes, only one. Blessed, blessed Jesus. He's the one. They don't. You're not going to see two, or you're not going to see three. You read in the book of the Revelation at the end, he says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify these things. Surely I come quickly. I'm the root and the offspring of David. It's all in him. He can be whatever he wants to be because he is God. So as we continue on here, I'm talking about fellowship. He's the elder unto the elect lady and her children. So in second John here, this woman was the pastor of this church. See, and during those days, they had churches in their homes. They didn't have all these big temples and big cathedrals like they do today. You know, there was no such thing, really, what they term mega church like they do today. I mean, these places are packed out, and a lot of times people, they're not even worshiping God. They're just caught up in emotion. The music sounds good, and pastor don't know the Lord himself. So if the pastor don't know, he can't teach you what he doesn't know. I was actually in another state, in another city, with a friend, and I didn't know what kind of church it was going to be, but I went. So anyway, he didn't know what he was talking about. So a lot of people just, they have the letter, they don't have the Spirit, but they have the letter. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Because he made a statement about the Antichrist. I don't believe he's alive now. Like, excuse me? I mean, we got to know what time it is. I believe that the Antichrist is alive. He is alive, as close as we are. All of these things that are happening, and there are signs. The second coming signs, there is nothing else to happen before the rapture of the church or the catching away of the bride of Christ. That's not the second coming. That is his appearing. That's what John talks about. Love now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, you know, he says, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? And he goes on to say that the world didn't know him. They don't know us. And he went on to say, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Talking about Jesus. No, they didn't know the Father. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He goes on to say, every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So he's talking about the appearing of the Father. The subject is the Father. So the Father is going to come to take his church out of here. So this is why the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God." So, I mean, you can't emphasize that or not. You can't emphasize that enough. So that's why Paul says, "We shall not all sleep." He thought it was so near even during his day, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's how fast that moment is. You know, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So, like I was making mention on last week about God, he's so great he has to humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He telleth the number of the stars, and he calls them all by their names. That's how great he is. So he is the creator, Isaiah wrote, of the ends of the earth. He don't faint. He's not weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He give power to the faint. Them that have no mighty increase his strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. Isaiah goes on to say, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So we're talking about the same God that was back in Abraham's day. And he asked the question only to a couple men. He asked the question to Abraham. He asked the same question to the prophet Jeremiah. And that is anything too hard for the Lord? So he's not the black man's God or the Caucasian man's God or the Chinese man or the Japanese man's God. Or he's the God of all flesh. So that's why some show you where people are off. We and us and this. No, and you know, they try to say that the Bible is a slave book and all that. No, the Egyptians, who were not the people of God, enslaved the Israelites. So that happened back then. That ain't happened. Right now, we have liberty. We got liberty. They had liberty ever since. All they have to do is obey and do what God says do. I'll tell you what the slave is, with the slave mentality, who the slave master is, none other than the devil himself. Because it's the system that enslaves you. The system that enslaves your mind. So he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So God doesn't want you to be bound. No, be bound. So a lot of people are in prison in their mind, in their own mind, in their own head. They are in prison. So he goes on here, elect lady and the elder unto the elect lady and her children. She was a pastor whom I love in the truth, not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. And so what is truth? Even Pilate asked that question. We couldn't find no fault in Jesus. He said, this cause came I into the world, you know, so that I might testify of truth, you know, kind of paraphrasing it. So he was letting them know when he was praying his priestly prayer in St. John the 17th chapter. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He said, Jesus said in St. John the 8th chapter, if you continue my words, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A Hebrew writer, a writer at the Church of Ephesus in the book of Ephesians lets us know the truth is in Jesus. So the truth will bear witness of the truth. So Scripture will support Scripture. This is the truth when it's rightly divided. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed. 2 Timothy 2 and 15, he goes on to say, rightly divided word of truth. So it is the truth. It has to be rightly divided. God is not the author of confusion. That's the devil and man and all these so-called churches that have come forth, which are not the church at all. I mean, some of these sweet-talking people like Joel Osteen, shame on him. His father was a hard preacher. I mean, you don't want to offend nobody. Like, no, we got chastised. whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receive. Says, if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. We got tore up. I came from the old school. We got tore up by our fathers. So you're talking about our fathers in the flesh, you know, how they, what they did. They chastised us, not for their own pleasure. So, you know, so we, how shall we not give ourselves? So, in other words, the him who is the father of spirits and live. So, he's doing it because he loves us. So, in other words, what I'm saying is there is not a word of rebuke. I mean, yeah, you need to build people up and let them know that there's somebody and they can make it. But you can't just eat dessert and don't eat no solid food. Don't eat no vegetables and no fruit. Don't drink no water. Just eating junk food all the time. That's no good. That's, you know, no. People need help. You're fighting a real devil and real evil spirits out there. And you need help. And you know, the truth is the only thing that is going to make you free, because God has a prescribed way of salvation. He's not going to take no other way. No, like somebody said, they were singing a song, said, Lord, I'm running, trying to make 100. 99 and a half won't do. So God has a way. So repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. It's in the name of Jesus. I personally have baptized many. And the only way we baptize is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We don't say the titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We say, I now indeed baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Just like they did at Pentecost. Just like they did all throughout the Acts of the Apostles. Salvation is in the name of Jesus. And that's why Luke, when he wrote 4:12, of Acts, he said, neither is that salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So salvation is definitely in the name of Jesus. So you got to get understanding. And so that's what we're endeavoring to do. So he goes on here, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. What's the spirit of the truth? The baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues. He's in us. Remember he told the disciples in St. John 15 or 16, one of those chapters, he says, he's talking about he, the Spirit of truth, has come. He's going to guide you in all truth. So he was saying he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So he was talking about, it's expedient that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And that's when he went on to say, he dwelleth with you, but he shall be in you. He was talking about himself. It's expedient that he goes away. So it goes on here, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. So what you got to understand, that's the operative word, what I was talking about last week, says Mary was saying, how shall these things be? Seeing I know not a man, the Virgin Mary, St. Luke 1:35 says that therefore that holy power of the high is going to come upon her, overshadow her. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's the key. Called the Son of God. So that's God's body. I mean, God is God. He became a man. He's still a spirit. He's never going to stop being that. But if he did it, he became the sacrifice. He took on the body. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He became the ransom. He came to give his life a ransom. That's why he spake sometimes as a man. He spake sometimes as God when he said, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. How is he going to be killed? He's going to rise again the third day. They don't want to hear that. Like, what are you talking about? Man, we feel peace. We feel protected. We've seen you do things. You work miracles. I mean, he disappeared. I mean, he did. He walked. They took him to the head of the brow of the city, that they might cast him out headlong. This is in the book of St. John. So that means they were going to throw Jesus over the cliff head first. What happened? He threw the mitt, so went his way. So he worked miracles. He didn't. That was the beginning of miracles when he turned the water into wine. He opened the blinded eyes. He cast out devils. He didn't lay hands on nobody to cast out no devil. He told them to hold their peace and come out of him. They said, "We know thee who thou art. You're the Holy One of God. Are you come to torment us before the time?" He told them, "Hold your peace and come out of him." They came out. In our words, would be, "Shut up and come out of him." So they did. So they said, "What a word." Even the spirits, they obey him. Oh, yes, he is the word. No power above him. You got to understand the office that he is working in. So he says, I rejoice greatly in that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we should love one another. And yet, see, we don't understand. See, like right now, see, it's good, just like somebody said, it's good that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy commandments. I mean, things work. We have to, some people don't want to submit themselves one to another. So this is what Peter was saying, you know, all of you, he says, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. God resisted the proud. He give grace unto the humble. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Peter goes on to say, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. What is he saying? He's your adversary. He's no match for God. God, get ready. He's going to cast him into the lake of fire. The beast and the false prophet are going to be there before he do. They're going to be the only two men cast alive into the lake of fire. Reading the book of the Revelation. So he goes on here. He's talking about walking in love, that we should love one another. This is a love that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, that ye should walk in it. And then, so let me pause right there. He's talking about love, that you should love one another. So what is that? When they asked Jesus one time in the Gospels, what is the greatest, first and greatest commandment? So he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. And he went on to say, love thy neighbor as thyself. Then he went on to say, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. So in other words, you love like what he's talking about. You're not going to do nothing to hurt nobody, because you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. He wrote in the book of Romans, Apostle Paul, I believe the 13th chapter of Romans, and that's when he went on to say, it's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. He's talking about initially, when you first believe God. Time is going on. We're closer now than we were then, whenever that was. It doesn't matter. If it was 2 months ago, 39 years ago for me, but we're nearer now than when we believe. We can actually see the word of God being fulfilled right before our eyes. I mean, these are perilous times, which means dangerous. I mean, we're seeing so many things happening. Never thought that they would pass. I mean, it was a possibility. People are going to do what they want anyway. They didn't pass, and that's all unrighteousness is sin, lying, stealing, committing adultery, fornication, all that stuff is sin. So same-sex marriage, it's an abomination to God. Not only that, people putting on women's clothes and they're a man, that God hates that foolishness. They're feigning themselves to be something that they're not. Men looking like women and women looking like men. No. If you're a woman, why don't you want to look like God, you know, fine and pretty, instead of looking trying to look like a man? And then a man, you're supposed to be a protector and all. You're not supposed to be some little wimp walking around looking in the, steady looking in the mirror at yourself like you some cutie. No, you a man. You're supposed to have pride and take care of yourself and all of that. But be a man. You know, some of these men spend more time in the mirror than women do. So, I mean, that's you're supposed to look like what you are. There should be no question. If somebody looks at me, they should know I'm a man. Not, oh, I wonder what is he, because I'm all fixed all up. You don't know what I am. So, I mean, we're supposed to be what we are and be proud of what God made us. So I said that to say this same-sex marriage thing is God letting them let man do what they want, but they're going to pay because it could have went either way. And even if they didn't pass it, they're still with each other. I mean, they're doing what they want anyway. They just want insurance money and all of that, you know, to be so-called recognized and equal and all that. I mean, that's God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and three words in the book of Luke especially. Remember Lot's wife. What was that? What's the lesson of that? Unbelief. That's the worst sin in the whole wide world. One word, unbelief. That's why they couldn't enter in, because of unbelief. He could not do many mighty works because of unbelief. He laid his hand on a few sick folk in one of the Gospels. So we're going on here. This is the love that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. So I've already explained that about love, what he said on these two, hang all the law and the prophets. Then he goes on here. This is important. Verse 7 in 2 John. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. Notice what I said. John didn't say that they don't confess that God came in the flesh. John says many deceivers are entered into the world that confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So look at what he is saying. So you got to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. So he said, this is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. So in other words, just keep on believing. Remember what I was saying? You know, he's saying that ETH, he that believeth, you got to keep on believing. Don't stop. You know, they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. You got to keep on believing. So he says, whosoever transgresseth. This is ETH too. In other words, you sin, you transgress it, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. What is doctrine? Is teaching. Hath not God. So you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God, what John is saying. You don't have whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. So in other words, you're not baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance like they initially received on the day of Pentecost. You're not born again. You don't have God. Not like what he wants you to have him. You don't have it. So he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, doctrine is nothing to be afraid of. It's teaching. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. What? The doctrine of Christ. If you stay, abide means to stay in. If you have the doctrine of Christ, you have both the Father and the Son. Why? Because he's only one. It's all in the name of Jesus. He is the one. That's why John looked at him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So it is in Jesus. And it's I'm so glad I found out, you know, found it out in time, found out Jesus is the Father. Jesus is the Son. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. All these three are one. He got many offices. So he goes on here, if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, what, this teaching, what, the prior teaching, just what he just said. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So at that time, like I said, they were in houses. Now you don't let a false prophet preach to you. I know people are mixing the faiths. They're doing all kinds of things. No, you can't let someone who does not know God preach to you. It doesn't go like that. It doesn't go like that. God is not pleased with that. So he goes on to here say, bring not this doctrine. Receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So, in other words, you're trying to act like he's okay. So, I mean, some people are trying to win. You can't win somebody and you join in the crowd. Jesus went into Capernaum and he dwelt there. Like somebody said, I don't believe he joined the crowd. He didn't. That was a dark place. It was a wicked place. But he was letting them know what you can do, what your possibilities are, if you believe me. So that's why he said, I am the light of the world in St. John the 8th chapter. He that followeth me, this is Jesus talking, shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. So in other words, you do what I say is what Jesus is saying. That's why he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. He went on to say, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The way of a transgressor is hard. Jesus' way is not hard. So he said, he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So you can't, it's like they said, you cannot join someone's camp and you're going to bring them out. No. You got to be the general to bring them out. You can't join the crowd. You got to bring them out. They don't want to come out. They don't want to hear you. Then that is, you know what that's called? The congregation of the dead. That's why the writer says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, the first psalm, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So that's what you're doing. You're sitting in the seat of the scornful. But he goes on to say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water to bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He goes on to say, the ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the sinner shall not stand in the judgment. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So in other words, you're not standing there. He said, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's in Proverbs 14 and in Proverbs 16, the same scripture the wise man wrote. So he goes on here, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee, amen. So this John is saluting this pastor for the truth's sake, he says, which dwelleth with us, shall be with us forever. So that is so important, because the truth will make you free, and a lot of people just don't want the truth. And so you got to understand. I mean, there was someone that was on the Word Network a few weeks ago, and I don't even want to call his name, but I mean, you know, he wasn't saying all praise go to you know who like he usually says when he's among those people, but he's on there like he's in the Christendom. See, that's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, James says. You can expect to receive nothing. A lot of people can talk stuff. They are jive talker, as we would say, for lack of a better word. No, you don't need that. That's what happened with the Jim Jones follower. They literally drank the poison Kool-Aid because of foolishness. No, you got to know what the Word of God says. You leave foolishness. And Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. So that's where we're at, and that's where you got to come to. And Peter said, he said a phrase that is so paramount, it's so very important, and it still applies today in his first message when he testified and exhorted, and he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So you don't have to stay around no foolishness. So you got to stand before God for yourself. So, and you don't have to name a name. I mean, I could say, but whatever Jesus says, that trumps everybody. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. So people are, I mean, he had the man that we would say that people used to talk back in the day. They called people radio. Back in the day, they called people Gabby that could talk. He had radio and Gabby mouth zip shut on that word network, on that particular show. And I mean, oh no, I'm not going to, you know, bow to that foolishness, what he was saying, like he was mesmerizing everybody. No, he was just, he don't know what he's, when you know Jesus, you're going to, if every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is Antichrist. So, I mean, that's, he's a deceiver, that man who was on that show. So, I mean, he wasn't, he's trying to act like he know Jesus and all that. He don't know him. And then, like I said, he caters to the audience that he is in. And so you got to understand, Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind. He's talking about spiritually blind. Both are falling to the ditch. He wasn't talking about the ditch on the side of the road either. He's talking about a hell. So people need to get an understanding. So as we go on here, with our time that we have remaining, should you desire to call in, you have a comment or a question, you are welcome. 646-716-6566. 646-716-6566. You are listening to Truth Ministry. And I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. You are welcome to call in should you desire. So as we continue on here, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And see, we are called the children of God. See, the devil has children too. You can read about that too in the book of Hebrews. So he's talking about Cain as the wicked one, you know, what he done, because his own works were evil and his brother's works were righteousness. So, I mean, you got to tell it just like it is. So he goes on here, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and the strangers which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. See, there, people receive gifts and all kinds of things. These people had love in their hearts. Even Apostle Paul, he would take money. He wouldn't take, he's talking about robbing churches, taking money from churches. But what he would do, he didn't take anything for himself. He helped churches because he had to set churches in order. He had to teach people to be benevolent, you know. So now they come up with this lie about a seed. There's no such thing as sowing a seed. The word of God is a seed. Money has never been a seed. The tithe is the tenth. The offering is a free will offering. It's not a seed. The seed is the word of God. So that's a lie. People are trying to plant seed. And, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's an insult to God. You think that you're going to buy a blessing? I mean, it's foolishness. On TV, on the Word Network, you send in that $50 a gift and God's going to release the anointing. Yeah, I mean, what a lie. I mean, so you could buy God, huh? I mean, and these jellyback preachers don't have anything to say about that. I mean, shame on them. You cannot buy. That's almost as bad as Simon the Sorcerer. Peter said, you thought is that the gift of God may be bought with money. He said, you're in a bond of iniquity. You're in a gall of bitterness and a bond of iniquity. You know, you thought it said the gift of God might be purchased with money. And then when Simon the Sorcerer heard Peter say that, he said, pray ye to the Lord that those things which you say don't come upon me. And Simon repented. Like he was talking about, give me this power to whoever I lay hands on, he received the Holy Ghost. That's when he let him know, man, you're in a gall of bitterness and a bond of iniquity. You think that God's gift might be purchased with money. And that's the foolishness. These people on there, I can say names that I won't. They're on there talking about, yeah, send that $50 gift. God's going to release the anointing. God's going to save your children because you put a praise out and all that. That's foolishness. You pray that people get saved. Ain't no because you put a praise out there, you're going to save your son or your daughter. I mean, that's ridiculous. You're going to save them because they believe. You're going to save them because somebody prayed for them, just like somebody prayed for us. We believe the gospel, not because of this garbage that they're saying. You cannot buy a blessing. That is a lie out of hell, and I ain't scared to say it. Can't buy a blessing. That means you can buy a blessing, you can bribe God. That's crazy. These people have lost their mind for filthy lucre's sake, and filthy lucre is money. For mammon's sake, that's why Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You hate the one, cleave to the other. You hold to the one, you despise the other. He went on to make it plain, you cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is money. And that's what we have come to. Some of these folks are crazy. They've gone absolutely crazy. And that's all they talk about is so-called sowing a seed, which is a lie. Money is not a seed. And then instead of really having the burden for souls in their heart. So it goes on here, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Trifes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receive us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth. Prating against us was Melissa's words. I mean, they had contentious people back then. This is what he's talking about right here. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So what is he saying? If you continue to do evil. So, I mean, some people don't know any better. I don't even want to say what spirit that is. You throwing money down like the stuff they used to do in the bars. You don't bring money up to the altar and throw it down. I mean, that's ridiculous. You give in the receptacle that they have. That's a whore spirit is what it is. Throwing money down and stuff that people would do at the bars. You know, like you're going to be blessed because you run up to the altar and throw some money down. I mean, that's ridiculous. They didn't used to do that. They just started that stuff because people got in their mind that they got to. I mean, everybody don't even have a job when people come in church. So the tithe is a tenth of your increase. If you make $100, you pay $10 and a free will offering. That's how that goes. Everyone doesn't have a job. So, I mean, you cannot buy a blessing. So, I mean, they've gone crazy talking about the anointing being released and all that. That's ridiculous. I mean, they need to hear their crazy self, but they can't because they're blind, spiritually blind, because this money is their God. That's all they're focusing on. But he goes on here, don't follow that which is evil. Follow that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. So you got to really look at your motives. Look at your heart. Why are you doing stuff? I mean, I was a volunteer in the prison system in the Michigan Department of Corrections. I was a volunteer for 20 years. I did 18 of those 20 years in the women's prison because they gave that to us and we tried to get out of it. But we ended up, the sisters in our church, we got them in, and they gave us another Sunday. So I volunteered in the men's prisons for the first couple of years, Then they turned those prisons into women's facilities. So I continued to be a volunteer. So volunteer, you're not working. I mean, you're giving of your time. We actually went Christmas Eve. Just a lot of most of the time we went on Sundays. There we went. We did Bible classes on Saturday mornings at times, but they couldn't believe it. Like we would take time to come and spend time with them, especially like Christmas Eve and all those kinds of holidays. When we were dedicated to doing what we were doing, we were volunteering. So we had an open door. We went in the name of the church that we went to. So we didn't go on, it wasn't trying to draw attention to ourselves or nothing. Many times we went as groups. Sometimes we went as two. Sometimes I went by myself because people weren't dedicated. But we did it because we love God. We had the love of God in our heart. We had love for souls in our heart. It's the reason why we did it, because we want to try to help somebody else to make it. So we know our time is almost gone. So he goes on here, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, we are also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write under you, write under thee. This is John here. He's finishing up here. This is his third epistle and final epistle. But I trust I shall shortly see thee. We shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet thy friends by name. So this is John's, the epistles of John. And this concludes our lesson that we had on fellowship. So you got to. So if you didn't, hopefully you got an understanding. You can go back, and if these shows are all on demand, these last three shows, fellowship, and part two and part three, and you can understand the oneness. That is why I keep that. That is my ongoing theme, the Godhead, because it's so essential. It's imperative. The name of Jesus is imperative, that you repent of your sins and the preacher baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That is an apostolic preacher that understands, that believes, that has the revelation of the oneness of God, because there is only one God. And he came in the person of Jesus Christ. He took on a body to give his life. He is the first begotten of the dead. He got up just like he said that he would. He is the good shepherd. He is the bishop of our souls. He is the apostle of our profession. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Talking about none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we thank God for this lesson on today. We will talk to you on next time. So, thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And don't forget my ongoing question. You'll thank heaven. And that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? God bless you.